Doug Scheiding of Rogue Cookers, baseball fan and barbecue world champion. You are listening to the Baseball and Barbecue Show with Lynn and Jeff.
From the studios of Baseball and BBQ on Long Island, New York, this is episode number 199 of Baseball and BBQ, where the BBQ stands for
Bar-ba-Q.
I'm Jeff the Oku Cohen, along with Leonard Hollywood Averman. We welcome you back to our podcast, Leonard, 199.
199. Have I had to come up with 199 ways to say barbecue?
I think so.
199. Jeff, you know what that means?
What's that?
It means, if I do my math right, and even I would know this, that we are one, count it, one episode away from 200.
You know, you're very good at math.
Yeah, I thought so, too. I mean, that's, you know, it took a while, but I got it. You know, what you do is you take 200, you minus 199, and you get one. That's,
yeah.
But you know what? As exciting as episode 200 is going to be, 199 is no slouch. No slouch, because, Jeff, we have Casey Lynn, who has started a media empire called Say Hello. It's the Say Hello Media Company. They have a newsletter. They have a podcast. And then we have our dear friend who is back. She supports us. And that's Bree Blackford of Elda's Kitchen. You know,
love Bree.
Absolutely. She comes on and talks about all the new things going on with all her sauces. And I want to tell everybody about everything going on. But first, that Bet Online is your number one source for all your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. Bet Online continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember, use your promo code BLEAV, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, it is where the game starts.
So, Len, before we get to Casey Lynn, you want to tease something coming up in next week or so?
Now, when you say tease, how much of a tease? How much are we gonna pull back the old curtain?
Oh, well, you can tell them where we went.
We went to Kansas City. Kansas City, here we come. That's the song, but oh well. We went to Kansas City.
And, you know, next week we'll talk more about it, but we had a fantastic time. And if you're going to go to baseball and barbecue, it's the place to go.
It is. For anyone that listens to this show, has been listening for a while, you may recall we had on Robert Wall, the actor, the comedian, the, you know, from Arliss.
The writer. The writer.
And he shamed us.
He did.
He said, you have a barbecue podcast and you've never been to Kansas City. Well, we changed that.
Yes.
Episode 200, Kansas City, barbecue, baseball, barbecue. Say it any way you want, but it's going to be a real doozy. But again, Jeff, that's the tease. But let's focus now on 199, because like I said, this episode is no slouch. We've got two great guests.
So let's get to Casey Lynn.
So baseball and barbecue listeners, it should come as no surprise to any of you that when it comes to technology, I am challenged. But I can look at Twitter and I can see who the big guys are and who's getting hit. Oh, now, yeah, that's true. I can look at X. When I looked, though, it was Twitter, and then all of a sudden it became X. Anyway, as I was perusing Twitter, I happened to see that there is something now called Shea Hello. Shea Hello Media, it's a digital multimedia sports company focusing on the New York Mets and Major League Baseball. I was fascinated by this, wanted to learn more, found out that it appears to be run by Casey Lynn, who's going to be joining us. And hopefully we're going to learn all about it. We're going to talk Mets, baseball, and everything else in between. So, Casey, thank you very much for joining us on Baseball and Barbecue.
Thanks for having me, guys. Pleasure to be here.
Great. Casey, thanks for joining us. You know, I've been following you on Twitter and now X or whatever. It's one of my main follows for Mets and you know, a lot of baseball stuff. But I wonder, how did you get started being a Met fan? You know, give us your origin story there.
Oh, wow. Been a Met fan as long as I can remember. I would say the first memory I have is probably around 10 years old, you know, but I was born into a Mets family. My dad was at the 1969 World Series, Game 5, when everybody stormed at Shea Stadium. You know, and he had the grass in his pocket until it disintegrated for, you know, after decades. And, yeah, I just was born into that. And I think I took it to another level when I was old enough to appreciate baseball and appreciate, you know, being a fan of a baseball franchise. And I took it to a whole new level in my teenage years. And it hasn't stopped where I am now.
But Casey, you know, you just said something that has different connotations. He had the grass in his pocket.
No, I'm sorry. It was in his wallet. Yeah.
Most people, but most people hear grass in a pocket and they're thinking, nah, they're going to jail for that. But no, this is the grass from our beloved Shea Stadium.
Well, he probably had grass in his pocket as well. So, you know, 1969. But yeah, technically it was in his pocket, but it was in his wallet. He has the ticket. I have the ticket now. He passed it along to me from that. And just to go back, I've been a Met fan for forever because of my father.
Jeff, is that how did you become a Met fan, actually? I don't actually know.
I lived in Flushing when I was a kid.
Okay,
and there you go. I had to walk to Shea Stadium, so.
Because I became a Met fan because of my father. You know, that was, he watched the Mets, so.
Actually, it was my cousin who took me to all the Met games, and she happens to be here with me this week, so. Yeah.
It didn't hurt that I grew up pretty close to Shea Stadium, and my grandmother lived in Flushing, so that was a walk to Shea Stadium as well as, you know, a frequent visitor to my grandparents in Flushing. You know, it just all everything came to a click.
Okay, so we can't see you, so we have no idea how old you are. Have you ever been to Shea Stadium?
I have probably been to Shea. I had season tickets growing up in the orange seats, section 211, right behind first base, two seats.
Nice.
I would probably say before I went off to college and then after I was in minor league baseball, 500 games, maybe. So yes, I if you do the math, 81 home games, you know, I didn't go to all 81, but do the years and, you know, the playoff games and going back and forth just when I can after adult life started, I would say over 500 games. So yeah, I've been to Shea many a time.
Oh, good. Yes.
My grandparents also lived in Flushing. And I remember going to my first game was actually, I think we stopped off at their apartment first before we went to my first game. So, yeah, they were pretty close to the stadium as well.
Yeah. I mean, the whole cliche, it makes sense. And that's why it's still used today. It was a dump, but it was our dump.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's what Jeff always says.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. And only people who went to Shea Stadium a lot feel it, know it, and exactly agree with it.
Absolutely.
Casey, it's talking about Shea, because we just had some big rains recently, right? When you were at Shea and it would rain like that, remember standing there and the water would just pour down off the, like, you couldn't avoid it. It came down like both sides of the walkways down on top of you. Do you remember that?
Yeah, of course. I have a vivid memory of one of those downpours at Shea. Everybody left their seats for cover, and you know, being a stupid, whatever, how old I was standing there, and one of the lines from like the movie Forrest Gump was Lieutenant Dan, and he was like, "You call this a storm?" And, you know, I'll show you a storm, when he was on the ship, you know. And I just remember standing there with my arms, you know, above me, and you know, the rain sideways. So absolutely, all those memories, I mean, I'll never forget them. You know, it's not a knock on City Field, but you know, Shea was one of a kind.
Yep. So Case, I want to ask you about you have social media. You're very popular on social media. You have Twitter or X, Facebook, Instagram, and all that stuff. You know, I'm looking through your Twitter page right now. You know, I really like all these graphics you come up with. Are you the originator of that, or do you have a team doing that for you? I mean, tell us about social media sites that you have.
Are you on my main page or Shea Hello?
Shea Hello.
I have a team. I'm not a graphic designer. I'm kind of like Leonard where it comes to tech stuff. It's not what I went to school for or what, you know, it's one of the things that I have to have a team. So I do have a graphic design team that helps with graphics for sure.
I tell you, it really pops off the page, you know, the player of the game and the lineups and the question of the day. I mean, that's really cool. Really cool stuff.
Well, that's all me. the editing of the stats and the lineups and all that. Those are the easy things. The graphics for players and everything like that. That, you know, if it looks professionally well done, that's because it is. But I'll take the compliment on whatever the compliment was.
I'll pass it along to the whole team. There you go.
No problem.
And speaking of teams, tell us, how does one start this digital media that seems to be, you know, growing by leaps and bounds? How do you go about that?
Well, being a huge Mets fan my whole life, I have a lot of experience in media relations. I've been director of media relations for 10 years as a broadcaster as well for a bunch of minor league baseball teams. Off the top of my head, the low A for the Mets back in the day was the Hagerstown Suns.
Remember them?
Very close to, you know, on the border of West Virginia, but they're in Maryland. And then they changed the affiliate to the Washington Nationals. And then I got lucky, or not lucky. I mean, I worked hard in college to get to those where I was in the minors as the broadcaster and director of media relations. But then I got lucky, if you will, with hard work, going to the Long Island Ducks as their broadcaster and media relations director, which growing up on Long Island was perfect for me. No more, you know, living in the South in a culture shock that I had to acclimate to, and no, you know, it was just a commute from home. So I worked for the Long Island Ducks for a while, you know, worked under Gary Carter for a year. I have stories for days. He was our manager. Gone too soon, of course. And so I basically just, you know, baseball's in my blood, just put it best. Doing that when the front office is very small and you have a lot of caps to wear. I mean, there were games where I was writing the game recap, broadcasting the game, being the official scorer, having to, like, all at once while the game's unraveling. So, you know, after I left minor league baseball, it's all just natural to me. So starting Shea Hello, when it comes to just baseball in general, with, you know, the passion, the love, the rules, the baseball IQ, the etiquette, that's just part of me. It's like my left hand, you know, it's a limb. I have started in the middle of 2015 an MMA company, which is another big hobby, I guess, of mine. This is, or passion of mine. It was kind of like this, but ironically, it was a print multimedia company. It was a website along with 30,000 magazines bi-monthly to all of Long Island. That did very well. However, ironically, the demise was print went bye-bye around the time that I started. And here we are in 2023, and my company, Shea Hello, is now all digital. So digital ended my first startup, and here I am in my second for the reason that my first didn't work out. Yeah, building a company like this is not easy. It takes a lot of hard work, weekends, 24-hour days, if you will. When I first started this, I was literally working 17 to 18 hours a day. But again, when you work in minor league baseball for 10 years, you're used to it. There are no days off, weekends, holidays, long nights, last one out of the stadium, first one in, you know? So having done that for so long, this comes naturally to me.
You have, so Shea Hello has a blog, a newsletter that you could sign up for,
yeah.
Right? So tell everyone how to sign up for the newsletter. I've read some of the stories. It's very current and it's very good.
Yeah, the newsletter. It's called the Shea Hello Media Newsletter, not a blog. It is free for anybody. All they have to go to is Shea _ Hello, which is our username on Twitter. And we have on our bio the Linktree icon. All you do is click that, click newsletter, type in your email, free, and you'll get every article recap that we do for Shea Hello right to your inbox every day. We do have paid subscriptions as well, but right now mostly are free as we start this, you know, venture off. We average about 8,000 views a month already with our articles. Mostly right now, as of today, it's game recaps with, you know, just the scores and the summary, like if you were reading right after a game from anyone else. And I have a team for that as well. And obviously, writing is in my background too. I mean, that is, you know, like I said, like a live for me writing. So it's more recap oriented right now, but we do mix in opinion articles. And once the off season begins, obviously there will be no more games. So it will slowly turn back to articles in terms of the Mets and whatever happens around Major League Baseball.
Yeah. And I get those newsletters and they do come out pretty quickly after the game. I go, like, you know, within what, an hour after the game, there it is right in my inbox.
I hope not. I have my staff. Rule number one, have to have it out there between 30 and 45 minutes or it's gone. You know, No one cares about the game after, I would say, 45 minutes. That's the time limit. You know, the game is done. We're already moved on to the next one. It's old news.
Right.
So if you're seeing it an hour later or because you're checking it, that's
there you go.
But,
exactly.
You know, if I'm running the game recap, it's out there in 5 minutes. I'm just used to it. But if I have my team, they're getting the hand of it 30 minutes, 45 minutes tops, because mm-hmm. we still want it to be relevant. So we do a good job of that. So thank you for that. I'll pass that along.
Casey, I saw that on your network, you have a couple of podcasts. One's called Flushing Finest, a New York Mets podcast, and the Chatter in the Box podcast. Are those podcasts that you just happen to listen to and you brought onto your network, or how did
So we are no longer affiliated with Chatter in the Box.
Okay.
The Flushing's Finest, he's one of my writers, mm-hmm. and he has a podcast. So when I started Shea Hello, I wanted to just partner up with podcasts that I enjoyed and was strictly New York Mets. And then we had a good amount, you know, and some people, it was like a cross partnership. They come under our umbrella, we promote them. So it was kind of a win-win for both. Now we are starting Shea Hello, our own podcast, in the coming weeks. So we're not really as much looking for, and we always are, but not as much for, you know, Shea Hello partners under our media umbrella like that, as we are now in the middle of producing, editing, and getting everything ready for the Shea Hello podcast, which will be unveiled very shortly.
Is that going to be audio or is that going to be also on YouTube?
That is, as of right now, it is audio and video. And we announced that my co-host, I will be the host of it, is Bill Pulsifer, the ex-Met, who obviously, you know, some people are too young to know who he was. But if you're not, Generation K with Jason Isringhausen and Paul Wilson. So Bill and I have a good relationship. Bill does a mailbag for Say Hello. He answers all questions in the Say Hello mailbag on Sundays. And he does a very good job. He's very articulate. He played 19 years professionally, you know, six in the majors, three with the Mets. He's going to be my co-host. And just like I am to you guys, we will be having guests as much as we can. And we are really looking forward to that part of what, you know, this company is going to unveil in, you know, in the next year or so.
Yeah. And Bill Pulsifer is a Long Island guy. Yeah. Yep. I saw he's going to be working for Say Hello. So I was going to ask you about them. So that's great. And does he answer all questions? I mean, I know there must be some question that, you know, being Twitter and all, there's got to be some, you know, some jerk saying stupid questions. Does he answer those? Or because I see his Twitter page, and he goes back and forth with some people.
Yes, he does. And that's fine. You know, Bill is very passionate, and that's why I wanted him part of the Say Hello team. You know, I look for passionate people, loyal people, you know, and Bill is like that. For the most part, to answer your questions, he does when it's Mets or baseball oriented. There are things, everything goes through me, you know, as the president and founder. If there are questions that are just not applicable for him to answer, we're not going to even click that bait or, you know, get that. For the most part, he answers every single question, and he thoroughly enjoys it. Like I said, he's articulate. He writes well. He texted me yesterday when he was finished with the answer. He's like, not bad for a guy who never, you know, went to college because, you know, as you know, the Mets drafted him out of high school. So, sure. You know, so Bill's a big part of our team and, you know, little capacities, but he is a huge part of our growing team. And we will look to continue to build with, you know, players like that or people like that. You don't necessarily need to have a baseball, you know, play in the majors for X amount of time. Mm-hmm. So we're very happy with Bill.
You know, you're very diplomatic, Casey, because you were talking about podcasts and then you said podcasts that I enjoy listening to, but that are Mets focused. So, you know,
yeah.
We're not Mets focused, but I guess because we do love the Mets, we certainly have a plethora of Mets guests. So hopefully you get the chance to peruse because we've had quite the variety. I mean, just two that come to mind quickly are Bobby Valentine a couple times, Sandy Alderson, just off the top of my head. And we've had, you know, many.
Steve Traxel. I saw Steve Traxel. Yeah. I saw, sure. Forgetting a couple. But yeah, I know Jeff has been following me on my main account. And, you know, so right then and there, I mean, I knew that you, Jeff, at least, I don't know about you, Leonard, but talking about growing up in Flushing, you're a Met fan as well. But Jeff, I knew, was a Met fan just by following me and, you know, seeing his posts and whatnot, or tweets or X's or whatever the hell they are now.
Right.
But yeah, of course, I'm going to do my due diligence and see, you know, who I'm coming on with. You know, I know you're baseball and barbecue, and, you know, barbecue is not up my alley, but, you know, I see that Steve, you know, I've listened to your podcast, you know, and I see who you've had on as guests, and, you know, Steve Traxel is cutting footage for you, you know, so, you know, I know that you're very Mets oriented. So that's all I needed to say, you know, let's do this.
And Hojo, both Hojo and Traxel would rather come on and talk about their brisket cooks than their baseball careers.
How can you forget Hojo? That's a huge name to have as a guest.
I didn't. I brought him up.
Just now. Yeah. Okay.
You're right. But
you redeemed yourself. That's a big name.
I mean, but, you know, I mean, we had the San Diego Chicken on, too.
Was he in full mascot?
No. He was not, but... He was funny because we actually said to him at the end of the interview that he was pretty brave to come on as, you know, being a chicken on a barbecue podcast. And he said, what do I care? Eat the competition. So,
oh, my goodness.
It was pretty funny. But let's get back to you and the Mets. And now let's talk a little bit about this season, which.
What season? I forget. What? I'm kidding.
We all know is obviously a big disappointment. And we know that with the trades of Robertson and Scherzer, thanks. I forgot his name already because, you know, he's not with us anymore with the team. And who knows you know, by the time this comes out, there may be half the team may be gone. We don't know. But
Mark Hanna was just traded an hour ago.
Oh, he was. See,
yes, he was. Yep.
Oh, look at that. So
Hello has all your news.
Exactly.
Thanks. Yeah. So, Casey, what do you have, like an inside scoop on Mets news?
To be honest with you, no, I don't have any sources. I don't claim to have any sources. I will never claim to have any sources unless I do. I'm just a Mets fan who is now bringing it professionally. So to answer your question, just in terms of the trade deadline, I don't know if there was a question, but yeah, I mean, it all started with Eduardo Escobar. Mm-hmm. You know, he was the first one to go in the middle of a game. And that was kind of shocking. But that didn't necessarily mean the Mets were sellers. You know, they have Brett Beatty at third. And as good as Eduardo Escobar has been in the clubhouse, he is obviously or had not lived up to that contract of his. So that was a little bit of a surprise. However, the trades that have been done in the last, 3 days, obviously the Mets are sellers now. I mean, first you trade David Robertson 5 days before the deadline, which was right after that rain delay and the Nets won the game. And everybody's wondering why Brooks Raley's in to close against the Nats. And it's not Robertson who had just warmed up prior. And I had thought, well, Robertson cooked himself in the bullpen, throwing too many pitches and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And the Mets won the game on the Mark Hanna sack fly. And now he's gone. And it turned out Robertson was traded. And, you know, a lot of Mets fans, and again, being a fan and running a company right now that is Mets oriented, you know, you have to kind of, it's a tight rope, put yourself, you know, you have to juggle a lot of, take the fan out of it and all that. But as the fan in me, I didn't understand why you're going to trade the best reliever on the market 5 days before the actual deadline. They did. They got two teenage rookie players, position players, I should say, from the Marlins who may or may not make an impact. I didn't agree with it. They probably could have held on to Robertson and got more. I'm sure that still would have been on the table. You know, those guys weren't two huge prospects at all. Even more so, they took 3 or 4 from the Nationals. They didn't necessarily have to be sellers. That was the other thing I preached all year, that if the Mets were 5 games back of the last wild card spot, and they're not now, I believe they're 7.5, but you know, they traded Robertson. They traded, you know, the things have happened and it affects the clubhouse when you do this as well. And I understand they took 3 or 4. I didn't think they were going to trade or be sellers. And here we are. Robertson went, Scherzer went. I'll give Epler credit. You know, if Scherzer wanted out and the Mets could fetch Acuna, it was Ronald Acuna's junior's brother, mm-hmm. top prospect. That was a good deal. I'll give Billy Epler credit for that one. Mark Hanna, like I just said, was just traded. Brewers, they got back a double-A pitcher from Milwaukee who has decent numbers. 3.33 ERA, I believe, in double-A, was promoted to triple-A, got rocked there in 3 starts, 10 ERA. But again, he's closer to the bigs, and you can't really read much into 3 starts. But you know, Tommy fan, before we get off this call, might be gone.
Exactly.
you know, and who knows what else? Verlander 50-50, Brooks Raley 50-50. And honestly, everybody but Lindor, Nimmo, and Senga on my mind are all anybody at this point. I mean, they're going full, you know, we could get something for you, you're gone.
I trade Vogel back for a bucket of balls, you know. why is he still here? I don't understand why he's still on a team. And, you know, not bring up some of the kids, you know, obviously the one we're talking about is Mauricio. I'm not sure if he's major league ready, but he got a hit better than Vogelbach.
Yeah. Vogelbach has another year of arbitration. So he is under team control for the Mets. And when you have that, they would have to non-tender him if they keep him. You know, like you're right, Jeff, they could trade him. They're not going to get much for him. But at this point, anything is better than nothing. Just like with Canna, he's a rental. They got a pitcher who may or may not help him sooner than later. But, you know, the Mets have – the Wilpons left Steve Cohen in a very bad situation in terms of the farm system. So Steve could use all the money in the world like he did, and it didn't work out. So now he has to fine tune his farm system. He will still use his money. He's paying all these contracts, by the way, with his money.
Yeah, he
is. You got to give him credit. I mean, he cares more than anybody. It just didn't work out. And yeah, for Vogelback, if they don't trade him, they would have to non-tender him in the offseason, a la Justin Turner, if you will. And if they do that, you know what will happen.
Of course.
Hall of Fame, here we come.
Well, Jeff, you said a bucket of balls. Are you expecting a new bucket of balls, like fresh practice out of balls. The package?
Or practice used... balls will work. Yeah,
I was thinking practice balls, like the something like, you know, yeah, exactly, practice balls. Somebody today mentioned to me, and I don't know if this is true, they said they should trade Francisco Alvarez because the Mets have a couple of catchers in their system that are coming up that are supposed to be very good. So I'm going to ask the expert, who usually is Jeff, but in this case is Casey. Casey, do the Mets have a couple of catchers that they would be able to trade in Alvarez?
Their number one draft pick, well, I guess 2 years ago, not this year, Kevin Parada is a catcher. But what you do is you take the best available, you know, just like they did this year. They took a shortstop. Lindor is their shortstop for the next 8 years. He's 2.5 mm-hmm. years into his Mets tenure. You don't necessarily go by position when you're drafting. You go by the upside and the talent. You can always move positions. I don't know who said, you know, trade Francisco Alvarez. And honestly, I don't want to know who said it, but
it wasn't anybody. It was just somebody that, you know, I happen to talk to. They say, oh, they know I have a podcast. So they were talking about it.
The answer for me is hell no. You don't trade a guy who is 21 years old. He has already broken records. He's on pace, if you did it over 162 game span, 41 home runs and 80 something RBIs at 21. These guys don't grow on trees.
No, they do not.
Plus, he was the number one prospect for years in the Mets system for a reason, and he has shown why. And not just offensively. He was graded as a very low defensive fielding catcher. He has shown he is nothing but, if not above average, or right there. His framing is excellent. Two first ballot Hall of Famers in Scherzer and Verlander loved, for at least past tense, Scherzer pitching to him, and they've made it clear. He's 21. He's only going to get better. They don't grow on trees, these guys. So, no. I like when Ohtani trades were in the talks, and you know, those Alvarez questions would come in because that would be a must for the Angels. No, you don't. Everybody but Francisco Alvarez. That's how I would say it. He's untouchable. That's my opinion. I don't, you guys can talk, you know, about what your opinions are, but I don't trade Francisco Alvarez even for, you know, Ohtani's not going anywhere, but no, Alvarez stays.
I agree with you. And, you know, I'm thinking you can always move Parada. Now, Bryce Harper started out as a catcher in high school and I guess in the minor leagues. And he's playing right field. Now he's playing first base. You can always move Parada because he's supposed to be a better hitter than catcher. So I would say, yeah, keep Parada or use him for a trade chip to get a better pitcher. I mean, that's what the Mets need, especially getting rid of Scherzer.
Yeah. One of the trades they just made, I believe. I might be wrong, a lot going on, but the trade in Robertson, they got a catcher back.
That's true.
So, yeah, just like you said with Harper, Craig Biggio's in the Hall of Fame. He started off as a catcher. Well, he's in the Hall of Fame as a second baseman.
Yeah.
You know?
And played center.
Right. And Todd Zeal started off as a catcher with the St. Louis Cardinals. You don't remember him as a cat. I mean, people who look back on him, you know, we look back at him as a first baseman.
Sure.
So, these guys who are drafted as catchers don't necessarily mean they're going to play catcher when they get up to the bigs. But for Alvarez, he's a catcher. There's now the DH that he can always have. He's a hitter, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, he's a pretty damn good defensive catcher as well. So again, they don't grow on trees and he stays.
Yeah. And one other person for our listeners who are old enough, Joe Torre also started out as a catcher. And he went the third and first. So, yeah. Len.
Yes. No, I forgot about Joe Torre. But there is one player that tried another position. It didn't work out. And
I know where you're going.
Yeah, but and he's in the Hall of Fame as a catcher. So,
No, I don't know where you're going.
I was thinking Piazza, but maybe it's
Piazza was a catcher.
Yeah, but I thought they did the Mets try him.
Yeah, Art Howe tried to put him at first base for a while.
Yeah, I mean, but that didn't last, and he was always a catcher. I mean, I thought, and it has a very big connection to Mike Piazza. I thought you were going Todd Hundley. When they traded for Piazza, Hundley finally had his elbow heal, and they can't have two catchers, so they tried Hundley in left field, and that was a complete disaster.
Right.
So there is a Mike Piazza connection there.
That is true. I mean, you know, sometimes a player just that's the position they're really made for. But hopefully, that's not the case. And Jeff's right. And you know, you could move these guys around, at least try it in the minors. You know, I think the biggest problem is when they come up to the majors and they get acclimated to a position and then you try moving them. Not everybody is as athletic as.
Yeah, that's look at Jeff McNeil. He's as versatile as you can get. He's having a down year, very big down year in terms of, you know, offensively, but you can put him at second, left, right, even third, and he's a plus defender everywhere. So, I mean, these guys are undervalued when it comes to being versatile like that.
Tell us, we've got Shea Hello. It's going to be a big media empire. And what's next? You're coming out with a podcast. You've got the blog. I don't even know.
We like to say newsletter, but blog will work.
Newsletter. Okay.
Yeah, Leonard's old school.
I'm just old.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. One of our followers on Shea Hello was really the creator of the first ever Mets blog, Matthew Cerrone. Metsblog.com. I grew up on that, you know, when we didn't have social media. I'd come home from school, go right on the big old computer and type in Metsblog.com. And that's how I got my trade news and my rumors. So, you know, blogs, newsletters, it's all good, Leonard. It's all good.
we just had somebody, I asked you a question and now I'm going to ask Jeff something. Jeff, who do we just have that was doing he was at a high school or something. He was doing a newsletter. I can't remember now. And then he did an internship with the Mets. Yeah, I'm asking you. No, not you. You didn't do. Anyway, I forget who it was. But Casey, back to the question. So, all right. So what do you see? What's the big picture for Shea Hello at this point?
A magician
never tells.
So no, I'm kidding. I can't reveal all what is coming up for Shea Hello, but I can reveal some. I've already put it out there with the podcast, which you know is nothing crazy. Everybody, you know, has a podcast, and like you guys, you're hitting it off with great content and really good guests, and you know what you're talking about. You're welcome. I wouldn't say it if I didn't mean it. We have some big things. And, you know, I guess I could say what I put out there on social media because it's out there. We will be having a website joining us with other things that will be included on the website that will be different. We will be unveiling merch with that as well. We have a lot of different interactive ways to, as if you have been following, say hello. We like to be interactive with our followers. We'd like them to have a voice. So we have our questions of the day. We don't like polls. You know, we want them to use their words, you know, instead of just clicking a button of yes or no or whatever. But we have some, you know, I alluded to Bill Pulsifer earlier. We have some other names in the mix that I can't go into right now. Shea Hello is a LLC company. We are there. We are not, you had mentioned we are looking to take it all the way. I wish I could tell you exactly what is in store for it, but I can tell you that it is not going to appear. Here's one thing that people, I'll give you a little nugget. One thing that most people don't know. Shea Hello right now is just as you alluded to earlier, focusing on the New York Mets. Eventually, Shea Hello will not just be New York Mets. We will be branding and going into other sports as well. Of course, it will be our number one, you know, feature in terms of content and surrounding Mets baseball. but we will be, and this was from the get-go, you know, incorporating other sports, other things into Say Hello Media that will get more people involved. And, you know, that is definitely going to help take Say Hello off even more so.
You know, on your Twitter page, you have also some great giveaways.
Yes.
And did that come from your personal collection, or is this somehow you get them somehow and you give it away?
So my father and I are big memorabilia fans. My father has taken off with that. I guess I started off with that growing up, and then he got into it, and he hasn't stopped. His collection is otherworldly. I mean, it's incredible. You name a player, he's got it, you know, whether on a bat, ball, mostly baseball. I would say 95% baseball. The giveaways, I started that. I've been on Twitter, I believe, since 2011. The giveaways, we do follow trains. We like to get everybody involved. Everybody loves giveaways. Everybody likes to meet other and get connected with other Met fans. And that's what follow trains are there for, where, you know, how else are you meeting in the social media world without a platform for that to happen? There are things that I have taken from KCJ_516, which is my main account on Twitter, and I've brought it over to Say Hello. You know, there are little things that do a lot that get people involved and get people to think. And the giveaways are a big part of it. We just did a giveaway for I'm not sure it's her bobblehead. Ironically, the day it got delivered and she got it in her mailbox, he got traded. But I can't help that. You know, we are currently in a giveaway for a Keith Hernandez signed bat, authenticated. And I just did a giveaway today, Tom Seaver signed baseball. These are big giveaways, and I've been doing giveaways for a long time. They, if you're asking, you know, why are you giving away these and all that, the secret or the answer is I have multiple. I mean, it's just over 20 years of collecting. I have another Tom Seaver baseball. Could I sell it when I'm old and I need money for a grandchild or something? I don't know. Yeah, but right now I don't have grandchildren, so give away certain things that, you know, I'm okay with other people, you know, enjoying what I've had and still being able to keep a Tom Seaver baseball or a Keith bat, you know, because I have, you know, a couple of them. Mm-hmm. So it always helps to get people involved in any which way you can.
Absolutely.
Are you being approached a lot by, I mean, I know we approached you, other, whether they're from the Mets, from podcasts, from, I mean, where are you seeing more people approaching you now? Or are you having more people approach you?
Yeah, I will be on a podcast, another one later this week, that is baseball oriented. I've been, I would say, in the last week, asked to be a guest on over 5 different podcasts just in this last week. I don't know why. It just all, you know, right now. You know, Say Hello started basically May 31st. So, you know, we can say that we're 2 months into it. But, you know, I don't say yes to everybody. And to be honest with you guys, I'm not tooting my own horn. I'm still just a fan at heart. I'm a fan who loves the Mets and loves baseball, who has a background in it and, you know, loves to talk about it and loves to write about it. So, yeah, to answer your question, people are asking me to come on their podcast. And obviously you guys was a no-brainer. The one that I said yes to later in the week was a no-brainer. And then there are others that, unfortunately, I had to say no thank you. You know, and, you know, time is valuable. And, you know, obviously the content that you guys or X podcast puts out there has to be on my energy and my level as well. So, sure. Yeah, to answer your question, yes, I have been. And I appreciate it. You know, I take it as a compliment and I will return the favor, you know, when we start our podcast. And, you know, I'm not going to just go out there and ask for John Joe or, you know, Joe Schmo to be on it. It's got to be, you know, obviously you guys have top guests on yours. You know what you're doing.
Well, you know, Joe Schmo is a great guest. He'll be on next week with us.
Right, exactly. And,
I'm sure he's next, right after me.
And Casey, when you said you were, another joke I'll make is when you said you were going to expand to other things, my instant thought was, oh, great, another barbecue podcast. But you surprised me when you said other sports.
There are a lot of barbecue podcasts out there. I did not know that. And, you know, I guess the more you know. But no, I will be Say Hello will not be expanding into any type of food barbecue. Don't get me wrong. I love barbecue. You know, I feel bad for the San Diego chicken, you know, who might have to be eaten, you know, to sacrifice him coming on your podcast. But it will be other sports. It will be other ventures along those lines. But no barbecue. We will not be in any type of competition.
Okay, see.
Hold on, Jeff. The San Diego chicken is Ted Giannoulis, by the way, is the San Diego chicken. I don't know which he cares he goes by, but I know Jeff was about to rap. And so we've only been doing this for 6 years. We still step all over each other, but we'll call it part of our charm, Casey.
Exactly.
6 years is a long time. That's congratulations, guys. That's pretty good.
Thank you. And congratulations to you. I mean, I'm a follower. As you know, I get the newsletters. Please tell everybody how to get in touch with Say Hello, all your social media, and anything else you want to promote.
Yeah, sure. Twitter, Say_Hello. Instagram, Say Hello Media. We started a TikTok. Same thing, Say Hello Media. And for the newsletter, as I alluded to earlier in the podcast, just go to our link tree on any of our platforms. Click newsletter. It's free. It's in your inbox daily. And type in your email address. It's as simple as that. Or Say Hello Media on Instagram. Click link tree. Click newsletter. Type in your email. It's free. And in your email Monday through Sunday every day. And as we roll out the different other things that we will be doing, it will be all there for you. We are very excited for, you know, what is coming and what has been already.
Yeah. And we wish you the best of luck and you and, you know, getting a former Met Bill Pulsifer in your company is a great get. And, you know, we wish you all the best of luck with Say Hello and any venture that you do. Thanks for joining us, Casey.
Thank you,
Casey. I appreciate it, guys. Very much so.
Hi, this is Gary Mack of the Mets Musings podcast. And if you like barbecue and you like baseball, then you have to listen to Baseball and BBQ with Jeff and Len. They always have the best guests from the world of baseball and the world of barbecue, all in one little package. So check it out. Baseball and BBQ with Len and Jeff. Okay, guys, take it away.
Thank you very much, Casey. Len, you know, Jeff, for you and me, Shea Stadium represents our childhood. Say Hello is obviously going to be known to tons of people of our age and younger, but it's very interesting because Casey also remembers, you know, Shea. But you're going to get to a point where they're not going to know Shea Stadium.
I know.
But, you know, Say Hello works very well. City Hello doesn't do it. I don't know. I don't know what they'll do, but I guess they'll think of things. But Casey Lynn, Say Hello Media Company. We got a couple of things, Jeff. But first, I want to tell everybody that baseballbbq.com is the place. It's the absolute place to go online to get grilling tools and accessories. The handles of these grilling tools are shaped like, what am I mean shaped? They are baseball bats, baseball bat handles. You get them engraved. It's a special gift. Get it for yourself. Get it for a loved one. Get it. You know what? You go into a barbecue. You don't know what to bring. Get one of these tools. Get a cutting board. Shaped like home plate. Anyway, go to baseballbbq.com and you're going to be very happy. And Jeff, you have something for us that will make us very happy, don't you?
It's time for the Baseball Quote of the Week.
When I came up to bat with three men on and two outs in the ninth, I looked in the other team's dugout and they were already in street clothes. That was Bob Uecker.
Oh, wow. That's Mr. Baseball.
If you want to watch a great Hall of Fame speech, because he went in on the Ford Frick Award, go Google Bob Uecker's Baseball Hall of Fame speech. It's 15 minutes of nonstop laughing.
Yeah. He is someone who just did not take himself seriously. He's a phenomenal, phenomenal announcer. He really is. And look, he did make the majors, but yeah, Bob Uecker. And Jeff, if anybody wants to get in touch with the show and maybe congratulate us on episode 200 or beg us not to, please, 200 is enough. Either way, how can they do it?
They can email us, baseballandbbq@gmail.com. Leave a comment on our Facebook page, Baseball and BBQ. We have a Twitter or an X at Baseball and BBQ. We have Instagram, Baseball and Barbecue, with barbecue all spelled out. We have a website, www.baseballandbbq.weebly.com. Or you can call us. Leave a message at 516-855-8214. And remember, please rate, review, subscribe, follow, tell your friends.
Yeah, because I promise you that once we hit episode 200, I'll be better. At least I hope. Now,
Len, who do we have on next?
We've got Bree Blackford, Elda's Kitchen. She is doing it for her Nana. Great, great person, great company. Listen and enjoy. When we were close to our 100th episode, 97 to be exact, we had this guest for the first time. Well, since that time, we had her on one more time. We're now almost at 200 episodes. We haven't gotten any better, but her company sure has. She is Bree Blackford of Elda's Kitchen. She honors her Nani Elda with her incredible sauces. She has actually her Elda's Kitchen sauces and her Bree's Drive-In sauces. She sponsored a contest with us. I mean, there's something to be said when someone keeps coming back. It's such a nice feeling, and it feels like family. So, Bree, we are so thankful to have you back on the Baseball and Barbecue podcast.
Well, thank you both for having me. It is always something that I look forward to speaking with both of you.
And let me just add, I know Jeff's eager to get in. Remember, we were your first, and as they say, you never forget your first.
Never.
Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
Thanks, Len. And Bree, you know, welcome back. You know, your sauces are, you know, we always brag about your sauces because we love using them, and I like use them all the time. What, you know, since we first met you, you've come out with other products. I guess ginger teriyaki, black pepper, spiky sauce. I mean, it's just so great. How do you come up with these ideas?
So it's basically like, you know, I'm actually going to go over to the Bree's Drive-In line for this one, because this is really what kind of clears it up, like how we come up with all these. So we had our original burger sauce, the guru behind all of our flavors, because we'll just be like, hey, we like this and this. Can you make it happen for us? He loves anything dill pickle. So he decided, hey, I'm going to take the original burger sauce and add a ton of pickles into it. And he did this at home one night as he was cooking, and it was so good. And there's where we came up with the dill burger sauce. So, you know, coming up with these flavors, people come to us. We have grown our private label business quite a bit, and they just come to us, hey, we need this sort of sauce. And we're like, we will be back with you because I'm sure we have it.
So now private labels. So that would be, I come to you, I say I want to have my name on these types of sauces, and then you make the sauce, but my label goes on it.
Absolutely.
That's interesting. Yeah. You get a lot of that?
We do, actually. Yeah, it's really nice because it's like, okay, a lot of them are our sauces that have been private labeled, but then we do get the odd request. I need a steak sauce that has these certain flavor profiles in it. here you go. And it's not, we are lucky that a lot of the time it's like that first one we send out, everyone loves, but there is times where they send it back and like, hey, can you just tweak it just a little bit? And the person that does our flavors, he is just amazing.
You know, the Breeze Drive-In definitely goes with the theme. I remember the first time we spoke to you, I think you even said you were born a couple of generations or a generation too late. And Jeff commented on the fact that it was, you know, the 50s theme. And the drive-in, what do you associate more food-wise with the 50s than the burger drive-ins? And you've got the burger sauce and the ketchup, special ketchup. And, you know, so it's definitely, well, you got Breeze burger sauce, spicy ketchup, dill pickle burger sauce. So those are all burgers for the summer, you know, the drive-in. I mean, even what's the restaurant now that seems to be all over the place with the drive-in? Jeff, help me out. We have one near us. They advertise all the time. Now I can't remember, of course, but it's that theme, you know, the drive-in and that whole thing. I'll think of it, of course, after we're done recording.
Of course. Of course you will.
Yes. Like I said in the beginning, I think I was born way too late in the game. Should have been there right in the 50s. And I always flash, when I see my logo, I flash to two movies, Grease, number one, and Footloose, from that, where they're at like the burger joint and she's dancing outside and her dad catches her.
Right. Yeah.
We don't dance in this town.
Exactly.
You know, we all have our personal favorites, and I'm going to confess to you, my personal favorite is the Korean style sesame sauce. I love marinating my chicken or my turkey or whatever I'm cooking. I love that, using that as a marinade. And that's my personal favorite. And all the other ones are good just as well, believe me. But for me, I love the Korean style sesame.
Well, thank you. That's actually my dad, the co-founder of Elda's Kitchen. That's his favorite, hands down.
It looks to me, I've been looking at your site, but I'm going to say that, tell me if some of these are definitely new. Black cherry barbecue, right? That's a new one. Garlic and herb, that's pretty new too, right? Is that a new one?
Garlic and herb is one of our original, and black cherry barbecue, okay. It was... First, it was 64-ounce, and then we put it in the small bottles because I would post about making meatloaf with it.
Mm-hmm. And what about Jala Hot?
Yeah, so that is our jalapeno hot wing sauce. And just a green hot wing sauce. Actually, we take that one and our normal one and mix them together.
Okay, so now we know... And we've spoken to you about this before, and we know so many people that are in the sauce business. There's two parts to this. We spoke to someone who is out in New Mexico, and he's become, that's his state almost. And he is known in that state, and he'll branch out perhaps, but he definitely has that as his state. Are you focused on one particular area, or... are you just for world domination?
We're all over the country. Yeah, we're all over the country, but I have to tell you, so moving, we've been in Texas about a year now, and I go down the barbecue sauce aisle. I don't need anything. Do I buy other sauces? Absolutely, because if something's good, I'm going to buy it. But I go down there, and I love seeing the local sauces, like you said, with the gentleman in New Mexico. It's like, this is a New Mexico staple.
Jeff, did we know that Brie was in Texas? Do we know that?
No, I did not know that. I know you still do the bottling in Oneonta, New York, correct?
Yes, we do. We've just switched the company, you know, our business, our legal address down here to Texas. So I am right outside of Houston. I actually thought of you two the other day, took my son to his first major league baseball game, Houston Astros. And I was like, you know, oh my goodness, baseball and barbecue, and was telling him, and
right, it's very appropriate. By the way, Jeff just let me know, Sonic Drive-In. Thank you, Jeff.
Ah, Sonic, you've got one right here.
That was, I couldn't think of it, but that's a popular, burger drive-in.
Yeah, so
you're in Texas now. That's So we have not been to Texas yet. That's another one on our bucket list that we'll hopefully get to soon. Sauces in Texas, how are they received in Texas?
So we do not have our retail size, our 8-ounce ones that I send you guys. We don't have them out in Texas, but we do. We are in Whole Foods. We are in Central Market. Just behind the counter, in and out flavors. Whole Foods is more of a steady. We like these flavors. We're going to keep them for a while. But yeah, that sauce aisle at my local HEB is crazy. It's, oh my gosh.
I love it. I love the sauce. I've said it before. First thing I go to when I go to the supermarket is the sauce aisle. And as a matter of fact, I was thrilled when I went to the local Walmart, and I'm in New York, and I went to the local Walmart and they had Duke's mayonnaise, which is very rare to see. Now they don't. I don't know if it wasn't selling, because it's definitely not, Hellman's is the mayo here. Although now you see a lot of, and I know we're off the sauce topic a little bit, but mayo is a sauce kind of. And
really
you see like Kewpie, the Japanese, right? Mm-hmm. You see the English mayo, which of course I can't remember that one either. But yeah, and of course, if you can't get the stuff, you could get it on Amazon or whatever. But
yeah.
But let's get back to the sauces. All right.
Yes. So let me ask you, Bree, are you still doing the Instagram Live?
I've taken a break. And actually, I was just emailing with my dad earlier. And I was like, I think we're going to start up again in September. Once that tailgating hits, I think I'm going to come back full force because I do miss it. I miss chatting with people.
One of the other newest sources, it's called the Kentucky Bourbon. And you have a couple of recipes on your website. You want to tell us about one or two of them?
Oh my gosh. Well, the Kentucky Bourbon is one of my absolute favorite sauces because this is my favorite way to use it. I get my ground beef for my burgers, which now I'm kind of obsessed with cooking it on my outdoor. It's like a Blackstone, but it's not the Blackstone name griddle that we just had installed. I mix the Kentucky bourbon into ground beef, and I just think that it makes the most amazing burger ever. And then, you top it with your favorite burger sauce.
I know you were with your dad. You were out in California before, right? Yeah. Your dad still out in California?
He is. Yeah. He's still in California. Most of my family's in California. My mom was here in Texas with me, and now she moved to Colorado. So it's kind of nice. Like, it's a new state every time I go to visit someone. Born and raised in California, we lived there. I did turn 40 in California. So I lived there 40 years. It's funny because, my mom and I were talking, and she was like, we didn't think that there was anything out of California, and there, besides to visit, like to move and create roots, and for me to be here and definitely put down some roots already.
Excellent. Baseball and barbecue. And of course, what's the best food that goes with baseball is a hot dog. And Len, if you check out elderskitchen.com, loaded hot dog bar, and it gives you a recipe for each, a couple of the sauces: Kentucky bourbon, hot wing cooking, the Jala hot cooking and grilling sauce, honey ginger and soy cooking sauce. I mean, talk about a hot dog bar. This is, you can go to town here.
I will tell you, my favorite hot dog is not on there. I love Chicago dogs.
Ah, okay.
Okay. I had somebody by the name of Meathead on a number of times. And yeah, I think he's from Chicago and he loves a Chicago dog too, I believe. Hopefully he doesn't listen to that and say, no, I like a dirty water dog, but I think he likes hot dogs from everywhere. But, you know, I love to take a hot dog or a hamburger and just take whatever sauce is in the refrigerator and pour it on, you know, instead of regular ketchup. Although I do like your ketchup.
Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. But it's, you know, you play with it. You do different things with it. You know, whether it's making burgers, like you said, you know, take the chopped meat and you mix some sauce in it and whatever. You know, don't go traditional all the time.
No, definitely not. Yeah, I love just like that just brought me to experimenting with the sauces. And you will have, and I don't have one on my desk. Surprisingly, I don't have a bottle of sauce next to me. You know, you just take it and you just add to it. I believe on the website is my recipe for spiky beef, pineapple beef. It's in a pineapple bowl because every time I make it, I have to put it in a pineapple bowl. My oldest daughter, my 18-year-old, I can't believe it. She requests that all the time, but I take the spiky and I add so much to it. So it's like, yeah, you can grab any sauce. It doesn't have to be an Elda's, any of them. Leave it like that or make it your own.
I never thought of mixing two of your sauces because I love the, like I told you, I love the Korean one so much, but you can actually mix two of your sauces to, I guess, to come up with a third flavor, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Do some experimenting that way.
Be like a chemist.
Yeah.
I just love it, you know, and it's, people are like, write down your recipe. So I actually started doing that because I'm in the beginning stages of writing a cookbook.
Oh, that's what, yes. We spoke to you last time. I think Jeff brought it up and he said, he asked you about a cookbook. You said it was on your bucket list and you said that somebody had bought you like on Etsy or something to write down your recipes in. And you said you were looking into that. So yeah, talk about that. What's the progress on that?
So we have a few recipes written. My major thing with it is I measure with my heart. Like I do not measure. So now it's like the scratch pad next to me and it's measuring, figuring out if that's exactly what it's supposed to be, adjusting it. But yeah, super excited. And not just Elda's stuff. My I just made a tomato tart the other night. And I think that my tart crust is super amazing and easy. That's what it is with me. It's like, let's just make it easy.
Yeah, easy is the best because for obvious reasons, people don't have a ton of time, but they want to make stuff that's good. So yeah, you're talking about the cookbook and measuring with your heart. I think, obviously for a cookbook, you have to put measurements. But it's okay if you don't have exact, whereas baking, right? You have to be very exact.
Well, even, I'm going to tell you, even baking, I'm like, you know, really? I'm like, just like my biscotti that I make, I have the general measurements and then we get to the flour. And I know kind of roughly you're going to get between 3 to 4.5 cups of flour in that recipe, but you have to look at it because depending on where you are, you may need a little bit more. So you have to know what the dough should look like. It's, you know, we'll just put a big disclaimer in the first page.
There you go. Cover yourself. That's it. So when you're experimenting all these recipes and things, experimenting on your family, your husband and your kids. I mean, they must get a lot of variety of food.
They do. Yeah. One of my most recent experiments was a cobbler because all the fresh fruit during the summer, I just love it so much. So now my daughter actually, right before I came in my office and shut the door, she was like, okay, so you're going to make me a cobbler real quick. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to make you a cobbler real quick because I have things to do. But yeah, and I was trying to give someone the recipe. I'm like, I know there's one stick of butter and everything else you put in there, I'm not really quite sure.
One stick of butter.
Yeah, and that'll make four cobblers. So you're getting a quarter stick in each cobbler.
Ramekins. The business. What we hear from people all the time is, you know, they love the sauce business, but it's not easy. So, and I'm sure it's, you know, anything worth doing is not going to be easy. But tell us now that we, you know, we last spoke to you almost 100 episodes ago. What are some of the things that are working out better than you thought? Some things you, you know, aren't as good, and just, you know, take us into your world.
Yeah. So, you know, like with any business, you're going to have your ups and your downs. Right now, we're in like a huge just movement up. It's summertime. We know this is going to happen. But we also have an amazing sales team who gets out there. You know, my dad leads them all. My dad's, oh my gosh, he's been in sales ever since I can remember. So he's real good at it. It's just, you know, the ups and downs. You've got, we right now we're in our up season. It's, you know, especially for those who live in states that actually have really defined seasons, you know, we're in barbecue season right now. But then come your colder fall months, starting about November to about March, it really just kind of levels out and slows down. And that's where I come in and try to get movement on the website and the Amazon with the help of our sales rep that takes care of that. But for me, it's just, hey, here's your cold weather recipes. Like, make a chili with this. Have your Christmas party. One of my favorite things to do is soaking water chestnuts in spiky honey ginger soy, any flavor like that, wrapping it in bacon because it's vintage. And we have our bacon wrapped water chestnuts. So yeah, it really is. It's an up and down, but it's great. I love seeing the new customers come in. I love when they order the retail bottles because then it's really getting it out there.
Yes. Talk to us about another line that you have, Abby's Kitchen Dressings and Marinades. Tell us about that.
So Abby's Kitchen was actually developed. We do have it in other stores. Originally, a chain of stores called Grocery Outlet. They do have some locations on the East Coast, but primarily California, Oregon, Washington has Grocery Outlet. It's a discount grocer. It's great. I loved to go there. We don't have one here near me. But so Abby's Kitchen is a line that they asked us for the sesame teriyaki. We were able to give it to them. They asked us for organic salad dressings. The biggest hit is our balsamic dressing, followed by, I would say, the ranch. May get some kickback with that one, but that's the one that I get the second most emails about.
And they're all organic except for the sesame teriyaki marinade.
Yes.
That's great.
Yeah. Great.
And everybody, you can actually order any of this stuff, any of this, the sources on elderskitchen.com. Just go to the products tab and you'll see all her products there, and it's great packaging. I mean, I know I mentioned packaging last time, like the drive-in stuff. That was really cool. I really like the packaging. And some terrific sauces. You know, anything else you want to tell us about the website? Your new recipes go up there?
So new recipes all the time. Also, our YouTube channel is still very young in the viewer count, but there are a ton of recipes and quicker videos. So you're not going to be sitting there for a long period of time watching a recipe video. There's a ton of shorts on there. Mm-hmm. And also, we just did a huge promotion on our website where you buy anything, which our smallest is a 3-pack, and you get a free dill pickle and a free spicy ketchup.
Oh.
So we'll be doing that again because it just went so well. And the best part is hearing the feedback from customers and just, oh my goodness, this is great.
That's fantastic. When you hear that stuff and it's, you know, it's unsolicited and they come to you and say, oh, you love this. That's just such a great feeling.
Yes.
I have a confession to make. I'm just going to tell you right now, Jeff, you did your research. You know, I was all over that website. I don't know how I missed it. I did not know about Abby's Kitchen sauces. Looking it up for the first time, this is what people are looking for now. Organic. Everything's organic, right? They're all organic, except the sesame teriyaki marinade doesn't say organic, but everything's organic. You know, that's what everybody looks for now. They just non-GMO and organic. Those are the buzzwords, but
they really are.
Yeah. And the dressings, these look like they fit right in on a grocery store shelf, because if you see right now, there's some sauces. They have very, you know what I'm talking about. You see the bottles. They have, I don't want to mention company names. They have a picture of, like, you know, they'll have a picture of an avocado on it or something. And these are very, yours are also eye-catching. I could definitely see these being on the store shelf if that's, you know, if that's where you're looking to put them. But these, I could see these catching on because, again, organic balsamic vinaigrette. This is right up Jeff's alley.
I'm guilty.
I did not know about these, so I'm glad I'm finding this.
You know what's funny about those dressings is I was grocery shopping with my 11-year-old, and he starts like freaking out. He's like, "Mom, they took your bottles," and I'm like, "No, honey, I'm like, they did not take our bottles. Bless your heart, but they are just." You know, like the perfect bottles for dressings.
Absolutely. You know, you mentioned social media earlier, and I know you're on YouTube, Facebook, Pinterest, and Instagram. Mm-hmm. Any ideas going on to Twitter or TikTok or the new one, Threads? I mean, that's the expanding world of social media, right? You have to get out there.
Yeah. So, okay, Twitter. How old is Twitter? I still have no idea what I'm doing when I'm on there.
Like,
that's about it. We are on TikTok.
Okay.
So it's Eldest Kitchen has one, but also Life with Bree has one. It's more like, hey, what's going on in my head? And this is my world. So you're seeing a lot more than cooking. And then Threads. I totally forgot about that. To be honest, my kids downloaded it immediately. And my girls were like, "Mom, you've got to get on Threads." I'm like, "Okay, I'm busy. I'll do it later." And that was like the day after it came out.
Right. I mean, we just found out about it, a week or two ago. And I go, "What is this?"
What's something that you dislike about the business?
I'm like trying to think. I can't think of anything. It's, you know, there was a TikTok sound that was like something about loving your job. And I'm like, that's me. Like, that's my life. I love my job. My job is, are there hard things? Yeah, of course there are, especially when it's like crunch time. I would say like the worst thing for me is seeing one of my favorite flavors get discontinued. Which rosemary mint was one of them. It is actually going to be making a comeback.
Oh, good.
Okay. So wait a second. How does that work? You have very good statistics on what sells and what doesn't. It was rosemary
mint. Rosemary mint.
And you discontinued it, but you're bringing it back. So why did you discontinue it if you're bringing it back? What was reason?
Yeah. So we discontinued it because, you know, we were left, people would buy it just at Easter. You would think rosemary mint on lamb, and you really didn't think outside the box with it. Very seldomly would it be put on another protein or veggie or anything. But one of our customers has asked us to bring it back for a big nationwide steady item. So I'm super excited because I just love it. And I put it on pork, chicken. I'm not real picky with my sauces because, you know, like you said, just open the fridge, grab a sauce. There you go.
That must be a big order. If you're bringing back a discontinued sauce because you got an order for that, that must be a very big order.
Well, our minimum batch size is 235 cases. So, you know, for a retailer like this, I'm like, maybe it's about two cases a store, but yeah. So we will bring it back and we'll make it for other customers as well.
But you know, I'm investigating this investigative reporter we've got. But I am curious though, why all of a sudden this store, like, did they have customers that were like, what happened to it? There must have been a following for it.
So we sent them all of our marinades to try, like, okay, every single one we made. Plus, we have a list of items that are like, we have the capabilities to make this plus anything else you can think of. And we'll tell you if it's just not going to work out. Right. So this was one of the ones we sent them, and they were like, yeah, you know, we really like this. Let's bring it back.
Okay.
And I keep on seeing salmon in my head, and I'm like, maybe they're going to put it on salmon too in the seafood department, but don't quote me on that one because I'm not sure. Maybe that's something I want to do.
We've talked about your grilling sauce, use it as a marinade, put it into the meat directly. Could you also use it as like a dipping sauce?
Yeah, absolutely. I did a back to school thing last August, and actually it was with dressings, but I've done it with Elda's too, where it's, here's a bunch of dipping sauces. You know, and I love that dipping sauce thing for kids because you're pretty much putting them in charge, right? You're putting out what you want them to eat, but then you're giving them the option to make the decision on what flavor they want that evening. And you can also use it as salad dressings.
Oh, that's a great idea. And healthy snacking as well, you know, with celery or tomato or broccoli. Yeah, definitely do that instead of the creamy stuff that's unhealthy for you. Yeah. So, Elda.
I take that as a compliment. My nanny was great.
Please let us know where anybody can get in touch with you. If you have an email address, if anybody wants to contact you to order, go to obviouslyelderskitchen.com. But please let us know how anybody can get in contact with you.
So the best way to reach us is either through our Facebook page, through our Instagram page. But if you don't have either of those, you can get in contact with us through the website or info@eldaskitchen.com.
That's a great way to get in touch with Bree from Elda's Kitchen. Absolutely try the, you know, order some of these dipping sauces, marinades, grilling sauces, any of her products, because they are fantastic. Bree, thank you very much for joining us again on Baseball and BBQ.
Thank you very much.
Thank you both so much for having me. Always wonderful talking to both of you.
And we want to thank Bree for joining us on Baseball and BBQ. She's always a delight to have on.
Thank you, Bree. Let's thank Bree. Let's thank Casey Lynn.
And I also want to mention a couple of things before we go, because it is, we haven't mentioned them in a long time, and we really should. If you can, please donate to Operation BBQ Relief. It is a wonderful organization. It helps people in need when there's natural disaster strikes. So please, if you can, Operation BBQ Relief. And Len.
We are brought to you by Bet Online. It is where the game starts. And you know what that means. We're not starting. We're ending. But we gave you a lot of show.
With the poet.
Shel Krakowski.
And the musician.
Dave Dresser.
And the song.
Baseball always brings you home, and we will see you with episode number 200.
See ya.
Bring the applause. Instant Mint.